You're listening to the Embrace Running Podcast. I'm Mark.
I'm Elena, and this is episode number 144 for November 19th, 2014.
Welcome back to the podcast where we talk about running every week, hopefully. What do we have this week?
We have some running stuff.
Shocking.
Yeah.
Little bit of news, a couple stories we're going to go through. We're going to talk a little bit about kind of getting back into the routine. Hopefully, we'll get to some cold weather racing tips. I know certain parts of the country in the U.S. right now are super cold, have some crazy snow
yeah.
and crazy weather going on. We're here in Northern California just having we had some light rain today. That's it.
We're lucky. At least we got some rain.
Yeah, we kind of need it. So let's start off with our week in training and check in and how we're doing. So what's going on with you?
I think I had a pretty good week from what I recall. One of the last few weeks leading up to Route 66 Marathon. So I think last time I had mentioned that I was going to do my 12 miler, which I did, and that went fine. And then got a couple of midweek runs in, whatever was on the plan. And then my long run of the weekend was an 8 miler. So that went fine as well. Did a couple of days of strength training. I think I was on the bike once, I think, during the week. Yeah, I think it was once. So still having some foot pain, so we'll see how that goes for Route 66. But it is what it is. Really can't do anything about it, you know, a few days out or a week out. So just maybe focus on some recovery afterwards. So, yeah, I think that's pretty much my week. How was your week?
My week was about as unproductive as it could be in every way possible. I've been sick for the past week, so I may still sound a little bit congested. I don't know if I do or not. I'm not quite sure. And it's a possibility I might lose my voice by the end of this. So we'll see.
We'll see how far we get.
Yeah, we'll see how far we get. Might have to end it early if need be. But yeah, basically, I think last week, I think it was one of those Tuesdays. I think it was Tuesday. You know, you say to yourself, oh, I think I'm getting sick. I'm pretty sure I'm getting sick. Wednesday, oh yeah, I'm sick. This sucks. I don't know. That's what I always tell myself. Yeah. So I was going to try to say it a different way, but that's what I say to myself.
That pretty much covers it. Yeah.
So that was Wednesday. Thursday, interesting enough, I've still felt sick, but I was saying to myself, oh, I'm getting better. This is going to be like maybe a 48-hour thing. And then Friday, I felt horrible again, and the weekend just felt horrible. So I actually did zero running this week because I was sick. I think the only thing I accomplished this weekend was watching a bunch of Netflix. So caught up on some shows. Does that count as being productive? I doubt it, but that's where I'm at. I think today I'd say I'm at about 85% maybe. So
okay.
I think I should
pretty
be good.
Good.
You know, we're Route 66 Marathon. Obviously, in terms of training, I'm definitely not ready for it, but at the very least, I'd hope to be healthy by then. So that's the plan, and I think that I should be okay on that one. But other than that, just being sick is just a pain, so very annoying. Like I said, it just sucks and it's annoying, but it, you know, happens every winter at some point in time. So
yeah.
All right, so should we get into things? Want to mention some races from this past weekend. See, I'm kind of losing the voice there a little. This weekend
hang in there.
This weekend was Avengers half marathon weekend down at Disneyland. Big Sur half marathon, not the big marathon weekend. R&R Las Vegas, Ironman Arizona, Richmond Marathon, and Brooklyn Marathon. So those are kind of the races from the weekend. Some running news. Want to mention Meb Keflezighi and Jenny Simpson have been named the 2014 USATF Athletes of the Year. So Meb, of course, won Boston Marathon earlier on in the year. Also won USATF Half Marathon Championship. Jenny Simpson captured the Diamond League title in the 1500 meters and the USATF title in the 1500 meters. So two well-deserving athletes. So just want to give them some of their at least recognition from us, but obviously
sounds like they have sounds like they have their credentials.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, I think Meb's probably, I don't think he could have a better year.
Yeah.
And certainly, you know, in terms of an elite runner at his age, certainly an amazing year, because you know he's kind of getting up there in terms of having an elite distance running career. So, all right, what else do we want to talk about? Rock and Roll Marathon Series. They had, I guess, a couple announcements. I don't know how much of this was completely new. New races for 2015. They're going to be back in New York with a half marathon. I think they were in Brooklyn in 2011 with a 10K. And then that kind of went on. Did I say 2011?
Yeah, you did.
I meant, was it 2011, 2012? 2013. I'm not sure. But they've been gone for a year or two.
2000-something.
Yeah, 2000-something. Yeah. They've been gone for a year or two. And they're going to be back in 2015. There's actually no date set yet, but they're going to be back with a half marathon. And then the other one that they're adding in 2015 is Mexico. So another one on their international list of races.
Interesting.
And then the other thing they mentioned in kind of a press release was just on their website, their new tool for runners to kind of schedule out their 2015 schedule, whether you want to like select the tour pass or just look at races. And I will actually give them credit, because if you do go to that little, I think it's called My RNR Tour section on the website, you can actually see all the races laid out in a nice little grid and easily click on it and see prices and compare all that stuff. So it actually is pretty easy if you're if you're doing multiple races in the R&R series. It's pretty easy to go over there and check it out. And I think you can actually sign up for stuff directly from there. But it's pretty easy. You can see distances and which ones have a remix challenge and all that good stuff. So it's pretty easy. And, of course, they're continuing 2015. They will have their tour pass available. I think if you want to do three races, it's $199. And then if you want the unlimited, I think it starts at $449 for North America, and it's $30 more if you want to add the international, which I think I was joking earlier that, you know, if I was going to do that $450 tour pass for all of North America, I would just pay the extra $30 for the international just in case.
I mean, it's $30.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean,
if you're planning on doing several of the North America races.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you get your money's worth anyways.
I mean, for the North America stuff at $450, I mean, for that to be a really great deal, what do you have to do? 9 races? That's $50 a race to really get a value. But then you're spending $450 and all the travel fees associated with that. So, I mean, we've talked about that before, but if you're going to be doing a ton of them, that's an option.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What else? Disney. We saw Disney unveiled their medals for the Star Wars half marathon weekend, which we are actually going to be there running. The Rebel Challenge. So we'll be doing, 10K on Saturday, half marathon on Sunday?
Yes. So this is in January.
Mm-hmm. There's also the 5K in kids races. We got our first look at the medals. What do you think?
I'm happy with them overall.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I really like the Rebel Challenge medal.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the 10K medal.
Okay.
The half marathon, I don't think I was alone in this. I was like, I'm not sure what that is. So had to look it up.
Yeah.
So, but I'm okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely like the other two better. I do like the 5K, which I'm not going to get anyways, and the kids races. I like both of those. So if there's a way to get the kids race.
I actually like the kids race too. That's the first thing I said. R2-D2's on it. The half marathon medal is actually supposed to be kind of a replica, or it's fashioned after, I think it's called the Medal of Bravery that they get at the end of the Star Wars film. They're all right. The Challenge has a spinner.
Yep.
Which is cool.
Mm-hmm. One side is Darth Vader.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is,
that was Yoda.
I think so. Yeah.
I don't have the picture in front of me, but
yeah,
I like them. They're cool. Kind of in the vein of Disney's traditional medals, and that a lot of metal in a way,
mm-hmm.
in that it's, mm-hmm. you know, one's all gold, one's all silver, or actually two of them are almost all silver.
Yeah.
Kind of like the traditional all gold, Disney medals that you see out of Ford and stuff. So kind of traditional there.
Like the full marathon out there and all of that. So, and the ribbons look nice from what we can tell. All in, you know, very different ribbons.
Yeah.
Designs on the ribbons, I should say.
Yeah. So I'm actually looking forward to that race. Like I said, we're going to be down there doing that. So that should actually be a lot of fun. What else do I want to mention? November 20th, probably passed, depending on when, unless you listen to this right away, it was or is Hug a Runner Day.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's November 20th, when you listen to this, go hug a runner.
Right.
If it's past November 20th, I say just go hug a runner anyway. You might scare the hell out of a runner if you just randomly went up to
maybe
a runner.
Maybe be selective in which runner you're hugging.
Maybe stop them first. Don't just grab them in the middle of running. That could be dangerous. We don't want you to fall or anything like that. But yeah, it is Hug a Runner Day. So be sure to do that. All right. Interesting story, kind of a crazy story, with a half marathon winner that was DQ'd. So I think you got this one.
Yeah. And I think I actually wrote the note wrong in there. It's actually a
marathon, it was a full marathon winner.
Yeah. Okay. I'm taking responsibility for that. Okay. I did put half in there. So I was like, wait, I'm like, where'd you get that from? So this was at the Chickamauga Marathon. Hopefully I said that somewhat right.
Close.
So the female supposed winner was disqualified after race directors and race officials reviewed her split times, noting that her first half was ran in 2:06:51, which totally reasonable time.
Yeah, nothing wrong there. Sounds good.
And then the second half was run in 47:30.
For For the last 13.1 miles.
Right.
Yeah.
Which would be
a new world
record by like 11 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that would be a 337 per mile
yeah.
pace.
Which nobody runs a three right. anything, a 337 in a marathon. That's just crazy.
Right.
I mean, yeah.
I do maybe like for one step. No, that's impossible.
And that's the second half of the marathon.
Yeah. Yeah. So unfortunately, you know, this wasn't noticed immediately, you mm-hmm. know, after, you know, like before awards and all of that. But it does sound like it was rectified within a couple of days. And the true winner who, you know, race day appeared to have finished second, you know, was notified. And yeah, she actually finished the course or ran the marathon in 3:21:28. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was that person that finished second that actually kind of brought up the issue after yeah. she saw, was it an interview?
Yeah, I think it was an article somewhere based on an interview with the winner mm-hmm. and some comments that were made that just kind of seemed odd or just not right. Mm-hmm. And so one of the comments was that the initial winner or who they thought had won it initially had said that she had run a personal record of 6 or 7 minutes. And so this seemed odd because, and I don't know how I feel exactly about this one, but
yeah, I don't necessarily agree, yeah, but
they said, well, you know, if you're, I mean, you pretty much, you've been working really hard and training really hard, you know, and to run a 2:54:21, you probably know what your previous PR was mm-hmm. like down to like the second, you know, like I beat it by like 5 minutes and 21 seconds, you know, versus, well, I think I beat it by like, you know, 6 or 7 minutes. So that was the first thing. The second thing that kind of was a red flag was, that the initial winner had said that she went into the marathon just hoping to finish.
Yeah.
Which
I don't think anybody who, yeah, the idea right. there is if you're a sub 3 hour marathoner, finishing is not an issue. Unless right. obviously something is very wrong with you that you might be worried about.
Which in that case, you wouldn't be running a 47:30 second half marathon, right? Yeah. And then the last thing that seemed a little odd, I'm trying to find it here real quick, is that she said that she was, I think, conservative or kind of holding back in the first half, and then she laid down the hammer in the second half, mm-hmm. which, I mean, yeah, clearly by the yeah, time that's what happened, but
yeah, I lay down the hammer all the time and run 3 minute miles. No problem.
Do you?
Yeah. I'm normally just holding back. Otherwise I would do that all the time. Right. So, yeah, so it's a crazy story. So we haven't even actually, you know, I don't know that the lady that was disqualified is, made any statement as to what she thinks happened or cop
right.
to anything. It's just the times are so kind of crazy. It's just a weird situation.
Yeah, the only thing I came across that she had said to reporters was that she did complete the full marathon and the disqualification was a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, so for her to stand by that, I don't understand. I think some people had looked up her previous times that they could find online, and, mm-hmm. and she appears to be about a 4:30 marathoner.
Yeah.
Is what she had posted in some previous races. So to go from a 4:30 to a 3 hour, albeit possible, because I don't know when that 4:30 was run
right.
in relation to this one. It's not super likely or very believable, I guess. So
yeah. And even if you don't even look at that, I mean, how do you run a 47:30?
Yeah. It's just an impossible
right.
split. But I mean, the one thing I was wondering, the only thing we could find was the half marathon, the midway split. I don't know if they actually had any other timing mats out on the course. It was a pretty
yeah.
small race. There was only 400 people. So it's a race that you would actually notice other runners.
Yep.
So had this lady been running ahead, you would have noticed that. So, I mean, there's always the possibility of a glitch with the timing mat. But it doesn't seem to be this situation here.
Right. It doesn't seem to be pointing in that direction.
All right. Let's move on. We got some news out of Badwater. Very famous race, 135 miles. Mm-hmm. We got some news. You want to tell us the news?
Yeah. And actually, my computer just froze. But okay. So I'll try to go just based on what I remember reading and what we discussed. So there was a lot going on with, if you guys recall, we've been talking about this quite a bit with Badwater having to redo their course essentially for this year. They didn't go with the original route. They had to skirt around Death Valley
mm-hmm.
Because of some issues that were raised with the National Park Service there in terms of safety and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it's actually going to be returning to its original course, I don't know what that is. Original course for next year. Oh, here's my computer's back. Okay, perfect. Just in time. And the way they're getting around this is that they will actually start the race in three waves going off just after sunset. Mm-hmm. So instead of it starting earlier in the day, because I think one of the rules or regulations or whatever term you want to use that came out of the investigation and safety assessment is that they didn't want any events or races such as this one to be starting during the day, essentially between, I believe, sunrise and sunset, I think was the requirement.
Yeah.
So they're going to go ahead and still do it with the original course, or at least the course that has been, but they're starting after sunset.
Yeah.
Which will be interesting, actually.
Yeah, I mean,
because everybody's pretty much going to be running through the night then, mm-hmm. for sure.
Yeah, I think it's pretty awesome that they get to go back to kind of the true course for the race and kind of get through all the issues that they had with the National Park Service. All the changes that are being made to make this happen are obviously on the race's side, that right. National Park Service actually isn't having to do any extra work to kind of get back to this course. But it is going to be a pretty different race with, you know, the wave start and the time and all that stuff. But it's good that they can go back to that course, or, you know, they could always, you know, if they change their mind later on, they can go back to the modified course and
yeah.
whatever time they want and kind of do it how they did this one.
Year.
So, but it's good to kind of have the options opened up and for the National Park Service to allow this. Like we said, there's been a lot of blowback by the National Park Service about events going on in the parks all over the place, but specifically Death Valley was an issue, and who knows kind of how all this stuff works out in the end. So we'll see.
Yeah. Stay tuned.
Yeah. All right. We're going to talk a little bit about some steps to get back into the routine of your fitness life, or maybe your running life. I know a couple weeks back I talked about kind of being in a rut. So this kind of relates to that in some ways.
Yeah, and I think this is something that you actually came across, and I thought it was pretty mm-hmm. interesting. And this isn't specific to running necessarily, but
right.
it's just in general to whatever your fitness regimen is, mm-hmm. Whether that is running or cycling or weight training, whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. So, so it's a 5-step guide to getting back on the horse when you've fallen off. So step one, realize that falling off the horse is normal. Basically, show yourself some self-compassion. I like that.
Self-compassion.
Yeah. Like, you know, stop telling yourself that you're weak-willed or undisciplined. You know, having something like this happen basically makes you human,
mm-hmm.
which I agree with.
Yeah, I say don't beat yourself up, right?
Yeah, exactly. And this actually goes into a little bit more detail, which I thought was really interesting about a way to kind of do this and, you know, give yourself self-compassion is to split yourself up into three different personas. Okay, so stay with me on this one.
Okay.
So first one is the criticizer. So this is the person who's angry that you fell off the horse. I know this one pretty well, actually.
Is this you?
Yeah. Well, we all have these three people.
Okay.
So within us. But yeah, this I know for sure. Do you ever feel yourself being the criticizer? Against yourself. I guess we could always be a criticizer, but.
Yeah, I do. I'm just trying to think of at what degree.
Yeah.
I am hard on myself. I don't know. But for
on
sure.
On a scale of like 0 to 10, 0 being you're not hard on yourself at all, and 10 being, I don't know. Super self-berating.
I think kind of as time goes on, I just get harder on myself.
Yeah.
So
like as more time passes.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So the second persona is the criticized. So this is a person who's defensive about the potentially hurtful things that the criticizer is saying. I don't see this one as much in myself.
Yeah. I don't either, actually.
I mean, I know it's there, I'm sure, but I don't. Yeah. That one's a little bit harder to identify with. And then the third person is the compassionate mediator. So someone who's going to look at things objectively and help figure how to move forward. I like that one. I don't know if I ever recognized that one, but I like that one. I don't know if that's just where like something clicks and you're like, okay, I really am going to go run right now. Or
yeah, I can see that. You kind of have to like deal
like,
with yourself
right.
and kind of, all right,
right,
it's time to figure this out. If,
yeah.
if nothing else at that point.
So it talks about going through like the dialogue that the criticizer would say, you know, run through the dialogue of, what the criticized would say, and then basically go through what the compassionate mediator's role is in terms of, you know, showing some self-compassion. Doesn't mean that you're making excuses, but just be empathetic and understand the situation for whatever the reason was that you fell off the horse.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So step two, I know that was a pretty deep step one, but I thought it was interesting.
Yeah.
So step two, evaluate your losses objectively and without judgment. I think that one's kind of difficult. To do it objectively and without judgment.
Mm-hmm.
So they basically broke down your losses into two different categories. So the first category is muscle and strength loss. So they mentioned, they kind of focus on exercise regimen that is very focused on strength training.
Mm-hmm.
So they talk about under 3 months, the chances of you losing very much muscle mass is pretty low. If you weren't working out, I guess, or what exercising, whatever that may be, for less than 3 months, like you probably didn't lose much strength.
Okay.
Okay. And they said sometimes even beyond the 12 weeks, you do tend to get back to where you were quicker than you would, you know, than you were, than you
originally.
Than originally. Yeah. Yeah. Thanks. I couldn't figure out what that word
that
was.
That one so. For sure. It's always easier to get back to where you were than maybe that first time that you ever got there.
Exactly. So. Yeah. And so they talk about muscle memory. So I guess for us, an example would be if we were consistently running 12-mile long runs every week and then we fell off the horse or fell off the wagon, whatever term you want to use, and now we're running like 3 miles, once we kind of get back on our regimen, it's going to be a lot easier and quicker to get back up to the 12 miles than it was to originally get to the 12 miles from zero.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's another reason not to be hard on yourself because, you know, you can get back pretty easily.
Right. And then the other category to look at measuring your losses objectively is actually fat gain. I think it's funny that they they call it that. So basically, if you've been, you know, binging or just not eating as well as you have in the past, you know, they say even if you step on the scale and you think, oh my gosh, I've gained like however many pounds or whatever percentage, you know, of my body weight has gone up, most of the weight is probably from excess water retention and not fat. I don't know about most. Maybe some. I guess it depends.
I don't know. I mean, it's funny because that just has me thinking right now because I've been sick this past week.
Yeah.
And I didn't have any stomach issues. I was just kind of sick with the cold and sore throat and congestion and nasal issues and stuff.
And just respiratory
and I'm pretty sure I gained 3 pounds this past week. 3-4 pounds. I don't know. Because when I'm sick, I tend, you know, as long as there's no stomach problems, I tend to eat a lot.
makes you feel better.
I'm trying to like, what is it? Feed a cold, starve a fever? I don't know how that's supposed to go. But yeah, I don't know. That just has me thinking of my week because I'm fairly certain I gained 3-4 pounds this week. And I was,
although I guess as you're gaining weight, if you know, if you've fallen off the horse and are binging or eating a lot more, one, you're probably going to be eating more carbs than you were before, maybe, and not exercising less. And I know you gain more water weight if you take in more carbs.
Okay.
So, and then you're going to be less lean. So you're going to have more body fat. I don't know. That's just what I'm thinking. So, okay. Yeah. And then they actually talk about, like the 3 pounds, for example, that you mentioned is not really what does you in. It's the fact that you think that the 3 pounds did you in, and then you just like continue. Does that make sense?
It does.
Yeah. I'm not saying that you are saying that the 3 pounds did you in, but I'm just using that as an example since you mentioned it. So they talk about just like analyzing it objectively. So, anything you want to add to that?
No.
Okay. So step three, show gratitude for how far you've come. So this is similar to what we talked about, in terms of like the muscle memory and getting back to like, you know, the 12 miles, you know, by falling off the horse versus like getting to the 12 miles originally. So showing gratitude for how far you've come. So instead of idealizing the past, and what, where you were before you fell off the horse, like what you could do at that point, look at how much, you know, work you've put in to get as far as you are now and show gratitude for where you are now, wherever that may be. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely be grateful for what you've accomplished.
Yeah.
And you can definitely get back there. So.
Right. And then focus on continued growth rather than previous glory. Mm-hmm. So look at the gains that you're going to be making now or that you are making now versus where you were before. All right. So step four, create a to-do list. That's what it says. It just threw me off there. For reboot week and establish a baseline. So this, I guess, is when you're getting back on the horse. And it actually recommends doing a very detailed list of what to do like on every single day. So, and it can range from, you know, nutrition or diet to training. And actually the training, I just want to read a couple of things here. It actually says, put on workout attire, get in car, drive to gym, do 3 sets of dumbbell chest presses, do 2 sets of incline dumbbell chest presses. So it's actually very specific.
That's very detailed.
Yeah. Although I bet it feels good checking off, like put on workout attire, done. Get in the car, done.
So it kind of helps you to feel like you're accomplishing something by checking things off.
Exactly. Yeah. It actually says on that reboot week, when you're getting back into things, just focus on getting through your list, whatever that list is, whether it's in this case, you know, lifting weights, whether it's, you know, running a mile, whatever it may be, just focus on getting through the list. Don't focus on like, you know, the fact that you are running slower than you were before, or you're running less miles than you were before. Just focus on being able to complete everything that you have on that list. And I guess I would add to that, be realistic with your list.
True. Don't make it impossible for you to get back week one.
Right.
I mean, I don't like being this detailed necessarily, but I do like the idea of at least, you know, if you're trying to get back tomorrow into the routine, plan out tomorrow and what you're going to do 2 days after that and 2 days after that. Have a very clear picture of
right.
what your next 4 days look like.
Yeah.
Rather than just, I'm going to get back to it tomorrow.
Right. Like, what are you going to do tomorrow?
What are you doing tomorrow? You know, tomorrow's, you know, a 4 mile run, or, you know, 2 days later, it's going to be a 6 mile run, you know, kind of have that kind of
some sort
down.
Of plan
yeah.
to get you back into it. Yeah. yeah.
And maybe you don't put down your paces, you know.
Right. And you don't really worry about
an
that.
Easy run.
Exactly.
Just get out the door.
Yeah. And then step five, which is the last step, crush your previous baseline. So once you beat all of your reboot weeks, previous totals, then you get to reestablish a positive feedback loop and you'll be ready to keep kicking butt. So basically, you're just going to be getting better from mm-hmm. there on out, starting from your reboot week and beyond.
Yeah, it definitely feels great once you kind of get through a break in the routine or you get through a rut. It definitely feels great to kind of be back into it. And then
yeah.
it's very easy to kind of get back to your baseline and then kind of push forward. It's
right. And go beyond where you
yeah,
were even.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
So, yeah, I mean, I just thought that was pretty helpful for kind of getting back into the routine.
Well, I mean, like I said, it definitely relates to me because, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I keep saying I was definitely in a rut and not just, it was kind of a mental and, you know, a lot of stuff going on, but kind of a mental rut at that point. Definitely get other ruts where it's, you know, schedule's too busy, but I was also along with that into a mental rut and, yeah, I was able to push through and mm-hmm. I was very happy to get through that. And although I haven't been able to run this past week cause I was sick, I don't feel like I'm in a rut. I just am unable to run at this point. Although
yeah,
I guess I could have made the decision to run sick, but being 6 days out from a marathon, I figured it was better to just rest up than
yeah.
than try to get a run in. Otherwise, normally I actually probably would have run because I haven't been that sick to the point where I didn't necessarily want to run. But
right. Gotcha.
All right. Should we move on to another little bit of a topic?
Yep.
Cold weather racing tips to remember. So it kind of applies to us because we are doing Route 66 in several days from here.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you've been paying a lot of attention to the weather.
Yeah, like I normally do. Like too much attention. Like
yeah, probably.
I really should just look at it like tonight and tomorrow and not for the last week.
Yeah. It's forecasted to be a cold race. Although over the last couple of days, it's actually the forecast has warmed up a little bit.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's going to be as much of an issue as we thought it would be originally. Although rain
although
is now.
Although the chance of precipitation has
is
increased.
So
we'll see.
The temperatures and chance of rain have gone up.
Right. But although, like I've mentioned before, not on here, but I think somebody else, I'm like, I know what to do with rain. I don't know what to do with super cold weather,
mm-hmm.
but I can deal with rain.
And like I said, you know, we always kind of preface it with, you know, we are from California. We're kind of
right.
worse when it comes to
yes.
weather to a certain degree.
So keep that in mind.
Yeah. So keep that.
yeah. What our baseline
in
is in terms of weather.
I think in the end, it's actually not going to be that cold at the race. But,
right.
But we'll see. But still, kind of a reminder. Five tips for racing in cold weather. Number one, bundle up before the start.
Mm-hmm.
Great excuse to get rid of old sweats. Look for well-worn long-sleeve shirt, maybe a jacket, hat, pants to wear on your way to the starting line in an effort to stay warm before the race. And then, of course, you know, the usual thing, you toss them to the side a few minutes before the gun kind of goes off.
Yeah.
So I know, actually, just yesterday I was trying to look for some throwaways. Actually, I had a really hard time finding some throwaways because of everything I thought I had. I think I've thrown away at previous races. So kind of going
they've already been throwaways.
Yeah, it's been thrown away. I'm going through my closet looking for shirts that are no longer there. But definitely found some stuff and got some stuff ready. So that's kind of the norm. If you can't get a jacket, you know, garbage bag works. I mean, I'm sorry, if you can't get a throwaway, garbage bag, old Mylars, that kind mm-hmm. of stuff will kind of help you on your way to the start line at
yeah.
least. So number two, be sure to layer appropriately. Take an inside-out approach to dressing yourself for a cold weather race. Start closest to your body. Work your way out from there. Dress as if it's 10 degrees warmer than it actually is outside, because once you get moving, you'll warm up quite a bit. Not a surprise there. When it dips below freezing, however, winds are going to be a huge factor during the race, so layering is actually much more important. Make sure you get a moisture-wicking, tight-fitting base layer that will serve as your primary means of insulation over your legs and up over your upper torso, above the waist. Wear another thick long sleeve shirt and or wind and water resistant jacket. That's obviously for some seriously cold weather.
Right, right.
If you're, you know, if you're talking about, you know, base layers over your legs, tights, that sort of thing. Also get a thicker hat and or headband to cover your ears and head if it gets really cold. I know for me, my touchy point is my ears.
Mm-hmm.
I hate it when my ears are freezing cold. So, I think a buff for me is what works really well for that. And I already packed my buff for Route 66, just in case it is that cold.
Yeah. And they also mentioned if frostbite could be an issue, to cover up any exposed skin as possible. So ears, nose, if there's a way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard for me to think of that just because we don't deal in crazy cold.
Hopefully this will be something we will never have to worry about with a race, but.
I know some people have tried to talk us into some crazy cold, snow covered, ice covered races.
Right.
Can't quite commit to that at this point in time, but yeah. Number three, give yourself time to warm up. So if you're running a short race, such as 5K or 10K, head out about 30 to 40 minutes before the start for a 15-minute warm-up jog, followed by maybe 4 to 6 kind of, 20, 30-second pickups. Since 5Ks and 10Ks are so short, it's important to get a good warm-up before stepping to the starting line. And then for longer races, for half marathon or marathon, going for maybe a 5-10-minute jog about 30 minutes before the start will help you get loose before kind of stepping up to the race. And then use the first few miles as an extended warm up and gradually build to your intended race pace. I know I'm a big lover of warming up before a race. I think the colder it is, the more important it is. I think for full marathons, I don't really tend to do that if it's really cold.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you tend to just be huddled somewhere trying to stay warm. So it's tough to kind of go get a warm up. I know we were at CIM for a real cold one at one point. It was kind of, you stayed in the, we had that warming tent option, so kind of stay there as long as possible. Yeah. So no warm up there. But if it's going to be, 5K, 10K in cold weather, I think warm up is huge importance and it's going to help you a lot. You'll feel better over that first mile if you can get that warm up in. So number four, everybody makes this mistake. Don't forget to drink. Don't let the dry air of colder winter weather fool you. You'll sweat just as much as if it's warm.
Yeah.
Although cold water or sports drinks might not sound super appealing on a chilly day, be sure to stick to your hydration plan during the race and drink at regular intervals. A good tip, take a couple extra seconds to stop at an aid station and get your fluids. That way, maybe you avoid spilling it on yourself.
Oh, that's a good idea.
If
actually,
it's freezing cold, you might not want to be
spilling an additional
fluid. Half the cup down your shirt.
Yeah.
Because, if it's super cold, that's going to freeze. Or if nothing else, that's just going to feel super cold. Take a couple seconds. I think it's worth just not to make a mess there.
Yeah, I think this is something that I always have to remind myself when it's cold out, that I just tend not to feel as thirsty until I'm done. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, I hardly had anything to drink. I'm so thirsty now, once I'm back indoors and warmed up. So I need to make a conscious effort to make sure that I still hydrate.
Yeah, I'm horrible. Because
even if it's cold, if you're still out there for 26 miles, you need fluid. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, actually, I think for me, it's a lot easier on race day than it is on a training run.
Uh-huh.
Because even though on a training run, I might have my bottle with me. I mean, amazingly enough, even though I'm carrying the bottle in my hand, it's not, it may sound weird, but it's not really as much of a reminder to drink.
Yeah. Like it doesn't really prompt you.
Yeah.
Because you're just carrying it. It's part of you. Like
I'm
it's
just
with you.
I'm carrying this for 2 hours.
Well, that makes sense. But then like a race, I know I just kind of took over your whole comment.
No, go ahead.
But like at a race, like you see the aid station, right. You're like, oh yeah,
it's
let
time.
Me go over there and get some water or electrolyte or whatever it is versus like, oh, this is just another accessory I have attached to my hand.
It just becomes part
makes
of the
sense.
Body.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So, because I, like I said, I'm naturally pretty bad about hydrating on cold days because, like you, I don't get that thirst that wants to crack in. So, number five, get warm right away. As soon as you stop, Mother Nature won't hesitate to remind you that the weather conditions aren't exactly pleasant. Take caution after crossing the finish line of a cold race and try to get warm as quickly as possible. Take advantage of Mylar blankets if they have them. Usually it's bigger races.
Mm-hmm.
Plan ahead with maybe family and friends who might be waiting for you at the finish line by having them kind of bring you some stuff, whether that be a jacket, dry clothes, maybe both. Dry clothes, a hat, some gloves.
Whatever you can.
Whatever you can give them.
A blanket.
And then try to change into that immediately afterwards. Excuse me, I'm losing my voice here, of course. I know you're somebody that's just all the time super cold after finishing a race.
Yeah.
So I think in cold weather, you're really looking for...
I'm really miserable.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think that I can think of just right off the bat this year, the one time that I wasn't cold after finishing a race was in Kauai.
In basically the hottest most humid weather that you ran in the entire
Otherwise, year. Like once I'm done running, especially with these longer distances, it's like, I just start shivering and okay, where's my dry clothes or warm clothes? So I got to make sure I take something for my... gear check or bag check.
Yeah. And another warning for that too is if you're somebody who, if you're doing a full marathon and you slow down towards the end of the race, maybe you're taking some more either longer walk breaks or additional walk breaks towards the end of the race, just be aware you're going to get cold by doing that. Because I know when I did say I am that cold year, and as I slowed down towards the end of the race, it's, you know, I'd been warmed up for, you know, the middle part of the race, even though it was freezing cold. Once I kind of slowed down and maybe took some longer walk breaks, all of a sudden I was freezing again. So just kind of be prepared for that, although you're kind of stuck with whatever you have at that point. So,
right.
If nothing else, get you to keep running. All right. So yeah, some cold weather racing tips. Let's jump into some feedback.
Message received.
All right. So we heard from Chris, who ran the Town Bank Outer Banks Marathon. That's a little difficult to say, which was his first marathon. Flat course, except for a bridge, which he actually sent a picture of, which looked like a pretty decent bridge. Mm-hmm. Good weather. He said his family was there to cheer him on, and he actually ran through the finish line with his kids. He shared some pictures, and he's now doing what probably a lot of us are doing and planning his racing calendar for 2015.
I can say I've spent a lot of time trying to keep my voice here.
Yeah.
Looking at 2015 and trying to figure things out, and I'm looking for races to update their, you know, where's the 2015 date and all that stuff.
Just so
sure. Yeah, I'm right there with you trying to figure out what to do next year.
I've been doing a lot of thinking about 2015. I haven't actually like put anything into effect or registered. Past April, I guess.
Yeah.
But I have some thoughts, so we'll see. I heard from Beth, who was running or going to be running the St. Augustine Half Marathon this past weekend, and was looking forward to listening to our latest episode while she was running it. So hopefully that went well, Beth.
Yep.
And then we heard from Tara, who gave us a recommendation on a place to eat in Tulsa, and gave me some advice on how to keep warm. Interestingly, she gave me some great advice on how to keep cold or cool in Kauai. So,
okay.
Yeah. So
covering all the weather.
Exactly.
Spectrum.
So I told her she's my weather guru. So
yeah. And if anybody else has suggestions for, you know, we'll be in Tulsa for the race. If anybody has suggestions on any other places to eat or anything to do, let us know. We're kind of just going to be there pretty quick. Basically just going in there for the race and that's it. So
yeah. But if there's anything like must
there's anything
see
we must,
or
do,
must do
or
do
that we
or
can
must
squeeze
eat.
In.
Yeah. Let us know.
Yeah.
Yep. Heard from Libby, who finally is coming down from her high after running the New York City Marathon. So finally let us know how things went with her and shared some great pictures with us. She said it was a truly amazing experience, which pretty much resonates with what everybody else has been telling us, including Dave, who we talked about before. Says it's definitely something that she recommends every runner should experience if they run marathons. I know we've talked about it being on our list of must do races,
and really, it should be on every marathoner's must do list.
Yeah.
So if you're running more than one marathon in your lifetime, you should probably try to make an effort to do it once.
Yeah, or if it's your only one,
that's fine
maybe
too.
That's it. Yeah. Although from what I hear, all these great things about it, like the crowds, you know, the volunteers, and all of that, it sounds like if this is your one marathon, it probably won't be one that you run. You know what I mean? Like if you're like, I'm only going to run one marathon ever, and you do New York City. It kind of sounds like you're probably going to have such a good experience for the most part that you're going to run something else again.
Well, it's funny because in my head immediately, I was kind of going in a different direction. I was just thinking that if you did New York as your first marathon, is that going to ruin all the other marathons
possibly
that you do in the future? You know, are you going to do a bunch down the line and just say, well, this one was kind of meh.
That was all right, but it wasn't New York.
Yeah. You know, there was only 1,000 people at this race. This was nothing, you know.
There's only 20,000 at this one.
Exactly, right?
So, yeah, that's the... I mean, just hearing from her, she actually, you know, got a PR, which is awesome, especially on, you know, the conditions.
Cold day.
Yeah,
very cold day.
Yeah,
very
the wind
day
and all of that. So that's awesome. So kudos to you, Libby. And thanks for, you know, including us in your experience once you came down from your high.
Yeah, well-deserved.
Yeah.
All right, I think that's going to do it.
Yep.
Like we said, this coming weekend, we will be at Route 66. Next episode, we'll obviously have a recap on how that went. Hopefully the weather cooperates. Maybe the rain will stay away. We're not shooting for times or anything out there. We're just kind of going out there having fun, hanging out with some maniacs,
right,
running to the center of the universe. We'll explain that one if we haven't already later on.
Yep.
Yeah,
just kind of have some fun, meet some new people. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
All right. So that's going to do it.
The website for the podcast is embracerunning.com. You could find us on Facebook at facebook.com/embracerunning. Send us any comments, questions, or feedback at feedback@embracerunning.com, or leave us a voicemail at 925-400-7223. If you enjoy the show, give us a review on iTunes. So until next time, embrace running.